Hey there, and welcome to the She Calls Her Shots podcast. Every week, we chat through different business building topics that will help you gain clarity around your goals, find inspiration in your journey, and also help you create a life and a business that you love. My name is Krista, and I'm a wedding and brand photographer and your go-to no-fluff business coach. In these episodes, we talk through both the tactical strategies, habits, and the mindset work that'll help you take those really big leaps. And we always focus on the real talk and the behind the scenes of what it takes to create a sustainable and a thriving business. Because let's be honest, the work isn't always glamorous, but it's always worth it. So girlfriend, let's make some moves and start calling our own shots. Hello, hello, and welcome to this episode of the She Calls Her Shots podcast. In today's episode, we're chatting with Lisa O'Hara from LS Studio, and we're going to dive deep into how to infuse our brand into our business and how to do it in a way that feels really fun, really authentic. And as a personal branding photographer, as a coach, brand is, of course, something that is a buzzword. I think we hear it a lot. And so I think sometimes as creatives, as business owners, sometimes we aren't really sure, do we have a strong brand? Do we not have a strong brand? And so Lisa and I are going to talk today about how to feel really confident in the brand that you have, whether you've invested in working with someone to create something from scratch, or whether you've created something yourself and you've kind of curated some things together to create your own branding. We're going to talk through all of that. And one of the things that I wanted to mention, I forgot to mention during the interview, but I do think it's important to call out, is that we talk a little bit about templates and branding templates and creating your own branding, kind of bootstrapping, as Lisa calls it. And there's nothing wrong with that. There are ways to do that that feel really good for you and that also look really cohesive for your brand. But one of the things that I think I find, and that I mentioned to Lisa after we actually stopped recording, is that there is a certain level of confidence when you invest in your brand, when you invest in having someone create something from you that is really born from your own personality, who you are as a person, the things that you love, the things you enjoy. It's kind of more of the intangible, right? You do get the things that they create for you, but there's a level of confidence that comes from having something that was built just for you. It's very similar to when you work with a coach one-on-one. The things that you work with the coach on might be things that you've heard before or things that have kind of stuck out to you in the past. But when someone really goes deep with you to figure out how you can implement that in your business and in your life, and you get that personal touch, it's that intangible thing that can sometimes make the biggest difference. And so I wanted to note that, and it's totally okay if you haven't yet invested in getting professional branding done. I think this conversation will still be really helpful because Lisa also talks about the different aspects of your brand that are important and what to focus on if you are still kind of in those first few years and figuring out what you want your brand to look like. So I'm really excited for this conversation today. And to give you a little bit of background, so Lisa is the owner and artist of Alette Studio, and that's a strategic branding design studio for ambitious entrepreneurs, coaches, and bosses who are done with blah and generic. And if you're watching the video of our interview together, it is just you can tell from what Lisa's wearing, also the background. She has so many beautiful watercolor paintings. She really does infuse so much of her own personality in her brand as well. So she actually has an MBA, and she kind of transitioned from having an MBA to owning her own business. And she talks about that a little bit during our interview. And she really focuses on creating hand-drawn designs with a purpose and is passionate about that visual storytelling piece, the piece that has a really clear strategic direction to help her clients' businesses and to create an emotional connection with her customers. But really, just her personality is so much fun. She's so personable and so easy to chat with. And I know that you're going to get so much from our conversation today. So all of that said, let's go ahead and dive right into our chat with Lisa. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the podcast today.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited too. And a couple things drew me to being really excited to have you on the podcast. And one is just your personality and how you infuse so much of that into your own brand, which I think is, and obviously really important because what you're here to talk about is how to infuse your personality into your brand. So I think you do that so beautifully. And also just really the focus that you have on what it really means to build a brand that feels like you. Because I think that even for creatives, I find that myself, you know, it's like, do I have a brand? Like, even though I know I have a brand, sometimes we're like, do I have a brand? And so I'm excited to hear about your process around how we can really infuse more of that to really feel confident in like, yes, this is my brand. This is me. This feels like an extension of me. So yeah, I'm really excited for this conversation today.
Yay. Yeah, we're going to have some fun. I know branding is one of those things where I think in the recent couple years, like in our space, it's become such a buzzword and it's become this like monster almost where it feels like, oh, it's this and it's that. And, you know, it's also this, like you need to know it for social strategy for this. And it feels so overwhelming sometimes, I feel like, especially when you're just starting to think about that for your business. But hopefully with our conversation, we can kind of, you know, simplify that, like, so we can get it to a place where now it's actually not that scary. It's really simple. You know, it's not easy, but I feel that it's really simple. So we can, hopefully chat through some of the takeaways and like what you can do today to really feel confident in your brand.
Yes, I love that so much. And let's go ahead and dive in. So I'd love for you to share a little bit around, of course, I've already kind of introduced you in your bio, but I'd love to hear a little bit more about really your journey. Like what kind of brought you here? Like what was it that was like, okay, this is my passion. This is how I know that this is what I want to do.
Yeah, of course. So I think of my sort of trajectory getting here almost like a scavenger hunt of sorts, where I've been picking up little pieces through my journey and through the different experiences that I've had. So in another lifetime, I actually had built a marketing career that peaked at running online marketing for Disney e-com. So that was, you know, really exciting. Like I was really proud of this career, but I always had this sort of creative itch that needed scratching. So when I was turning 30, I'm aging myself here, but I figured that I need a big milestone present. So I figured, okay, well, I'm just going to throw some money at starting a business. And so I started in wedding stationery, and started working with other sort of professionals in the space, because something that, you know, I think all of us know when we come from weddings is that it's such a tight-knit community. It's based in, you know, location. Like I got to know people who are really close to me. And honestly, that was the first time that I saw or met anyone who owned their own business. My grandparents had owned a shop back in the day, but it wasn't something that was kind of aspired two in my family. And so I was just swept off my feet, completely smitten by all of these really confident, strong men and women who were owning their business and really kind of doing the thing, right? What we're all kind of trying to do here. And I just fell in love, didn't look back. When I started being able to work with these people, I wanted to serve them. I wanted to work with them, more so than the client side. I will admit, like, I kind of like fell out of love with the whole client process and instead wanted to work with people who own businesses and wanted to, you know, do more with them. So it started with doing graphic design for them here and there. And then realizing that with my background, having worked with brands like Disney and Sephora and Nordstrom's and, SiriusXM, that I can bring that sort of marketing background into it too. So my MBA didn't go to waste. And so all of these little pieces kind of all came together into this business where I get to work with really amazing people who are owning their business and bring their brand to life in a visual way.
Hey, friend, I want to make sure you know about my upcoming free workshop, Seasons of Growth. This workshop is going to be super valuable to photographers that want to learn how to maintain a thriving photography business in the midst of the slower seasons. I know how frustrating it can feel when inquiries aren't coming in, especially when you see other photographers booking out their sessions consistently. This workshop is going to be classroom style and super interactive, meaning that you're going to get real-time coaching from me on how you can create more momentum and visibility inside your business, meaning more inquiries coming in and more booked clients. These are the same strategies that I've used to help my one-to-one clients book more sessions, and I'm bringing them all to you during the workshop. You can learn more and save your spot by visiting heychristamarie.com/workshop. I can't wait to see you there. I love that. Isn't that so beautiful how it unfolds sometimes? And at the time, you're like, I don't really know where this is going to go or if this thing that I'm doing right now is necessarily the thing that I want to do forever. But every piece all adds up and kind of gets you to where it is that you want to be. I love that so much.
Yeah, thank goodness, I guess, right?
Yeah. And I can also relate to, because I started my career in the last 12 years, I mostly focused for the majority of the time on weddings and engagements. So I have very similar experiences where it is very different when you're working with clients. And then 3 years ago, when I started to do brand photos for other women entrepreneurs, it was, even though it was still photography, it was very different because I had never, I mean, just even logistically, I was used to posing to people and love and weddings and all these things. And then I started working with brands and it was like, oh, empowered women. Like we're not, you know, it was kind of a shift in thinking, but it really does make a difference when you're, when you can use those skill sets to really be like, oh, this is actually more than just photos, you know, and on a wedding day, it's more than just photos too. These are memories. These are things that people are going to have, but for someone's brand, this is so much more than just photos that you're going to put up on your website. This is your confidence that's expressed in photo form in your business. This is your brand identity. This is how you want your clients to feel. It was so much more than just showing up and taking pictures. But it's such it's a beautiful thing when you get to feel like you're supporting people on multiple levels as they're growing their business.
Yeah, totally. It's the closest thing, I think, as entrepreneurs to getting B2B, right? Going from the business to customer model to the business to business. And you kind of understand each other in that way as well, where you're like, oh, we're all kind of doing this together, like with our different expertise and different specialties. We're almost building this like entrepreneur economy together. And I really love that about this space. It's the closest thing to having coworkers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're all kind of in it together. And I'd love to chat through. So thinking about, because like I said, I think there's sometimes a disconnect or there's like this, it feels like there's a disconnect sometimes between, you know, do I have a brand? Because some of us, especially in the beginning, kind of piece together the things that we have and technically the colors blend and technically the palette's the same and like all of these things, but it also kind of just feels like, oh, is this? So I'd love to hear kind of how do you think about that? Like, how do you think about when you know, like this was strategically created or thoughtfully created to be an extension of me and who I am?
Yeah, I think the one thing that I'm always conscious of when I think about branding, especially because it's such a big idea, right, is to understand where the line in the sand is. So the two big buckets that I think about when I think about branding is the intangible stuff, the stuff you don't see, and then the tangible stuff, which is the stuff that are actually in front of you. So this is the famous joke as it comes to branding is like, oh, you know, a brand is not just a logo, right? Because everyone thinks of that straight away. And I would extend that to say everyone, when they think of brand, immediately only think about sort of that tangible part, right? The colors, the fonts, the photos, the logo. And what makes a brand strategic and well thought out and almost cohesive and professional and all of those adjectives that you could think of is when the things that you see are powered by the engine of the things that you don't see. And that's the part I think that, you know, a lot of people sort of feel overwhelmed because they're like, oh my goodness, I have to have a proposition and a manifesto and a, you know, what else is there? Like the brand positioning, all of those sort of pieces as well. But what's nice is that once you have all of those intangible ideas about your brand, right? The fluffy part of the brand that you can't quite put your finger on. Once you have a really clear understanding of what that is, everything else just has to follow that, like a rule book or a guidebook, or I like to call it your brand North Star. And what I do with clients a lot is to think about, you know, what are the five key words that describe what your brand is? And that's sort of the intangible bit, right? Whether it's the type of experience that your clients are going to get, whether it's why you're in this business in the first place and what you want to bring to the industry, et cetera, et cetera. Now that you have that sort of intangible part in who you are and you know all of those things, you know that, okay, you know, a pink color is a pink color, but is this a happy pink, or is it more of a pretty pink, or is it more of, you know, the kind of pink that you think of when you're a kid and you're, you know, eating cotton candy and that, like, you know, crazy joyful moment, like all of those things kind of have to work hand in hand. And knowing what the difference is, right, what the different pieces are and where they fall into place really help you to understand, okay, well, this part of my brand is all of the ideas and the emotions that I want to convey. And this part of the brand has to follow that. So, you know, it's almost like creating like a boy band. It's all of the members are very important, of course, but who's your Justin Timberlake and who is everyone going to follow? And that's sort of how you know that you have a group or an idea or a brand that's cohesive and all working together.
Yeah. Well, I love that example, first of all, being a fellow millennial.
Elder millennial. Yeah.
I love that. And I think that is, it's important to think about that, because even sometimes from the branding, the photography perspective, when I do brand sessions with other clients and I have a whole questionnaire and we go through all the questions of who are your client, you know, all these intangible things. And there are some clients that I've worked with that they know, like, this is my client, this is how they feel, all the things. And then there are some that are like, oh, I've never really thought about this. These are really good questions. And I feel like the things that you're doing also help to start to piece all of that together. Because if you're really having to dig deep on these non-tangibles, these things that you don't necessarily think about, then you really do start to realize, oh, okay, I not only understand my brand more and where it is that I want to go, but I also am starting to understand my client. And I know you actually had a blog post that kind of talked about, and it makes sense now because of your marketing background, the difference between marketing and branding, but how they also go together. So I can see how this intangible piece, the client piece, really does help aid your marketing efforts as well.
Absolutely. And I love what you said about when your clients have that aha moment of, oh, I didn't think about that. So much of this sort of brand conversation is stuff that you, as a business owner, probably intuitively know already. You just don't have the vocabulary or the syntax or the even the foresight to kind of write that stuff down. So that's kind of what's nice about this too. If all of this is feeling like, oh my goodness, like, where do I even start? Know that it's already there. You just need someone to sort of uncover it for you or do the work to, you know, whether it's through journaling, whether it's through, you know, going through courses, like whatever method works for you. You just have to get it out of you, but it's in there.
Yeah. It's the same thing with, when I work with coaching clients, like, and you know, you think about your what is your process? What does this look like? What does your process look like? And, or all of their stuff is in their head, but they haven't really taken time to actually document or write things down. And sometimes just even that effort will bring so much clarity around things that you didn't think of, because we're so used to having things in our head that I know it. And it's like, but do you really know it? Have you written it down? Is it something you've iterated on? So yeah, I love that. And do you find that when clients work with you, because sometimes I think about, I don't know if someone's ever phrased it like this, but it's when I think about branding, sometimes I think of it's like the chicken and the egg. It's like, do I work with the clients first and figure out what my brand is and then create the brand identity around the things I'm offering, the packages, the services, or do I create the brand first and then that dictates kind of the clients that I work with? So I'd love to hear your thoughts around where your clients typically are or how they think about that place.
Yeah, of course. I think what has worked the best with my past clients is they've been in business maybe for about, you know, 2, 3, sometimes even 4 years, where they've worked on it. They know who they are. They know who they want to work with. And therefore, they have a really good understanding of what the business that they had built is. And then they get to a point where they realize that everything that they've built business-wise is amazing, right? Like they love their clients, they love what they do, but there's a disconnect with the way that they're presenting themselves as far as design goes. Like I think you mentioned in the beginning too, where they're kind of just picking up like templates or, you know, Etsy logos or whatever, kind of along as they go. And then they have this mishmash thing where they're like, I don't know where I am in here. And this branding looks like it could belong to any other, you know, photographer or wedding planner or, you know, what have you in the industry. And it doesn't look like me. And I think that's there is a journey that needs to take place, almost like a hero's journey, if you will, to understand that what you have doesn't reflect who you are, because you won't know who you are until you've really come into your own, right? And so I think that's a really important place to be in. And there are some brands and some entrepreneurs who want to launch a brand with me with brand design, but I always sort of caution them like, hey, you know, this is going to be for now, I think. Sometimes you learn things about yourself. Sometimes you just change because you're in a different season of life. And that's why a lot of times I kind of caution to make sure that like, okay, well, you know, don't be too married to it. It's almost like you think you're going to marry that first guy that you go on a date with, but you know, maybe you want to be out there for a little bit longer.
Yeah. Oh, I think back to the first couple websites that I had or I even had, and like you said, we change, we go through iterations. Mm-hmm. I had that time where as a wedding photographer, I thought, oh, I want my website to be all white and clean and very minimal because that's what I liked that. I was attracted to that. That was something that felt really good. But when I actually did that for myself, I noticed I had someone building a website for me. And every time they'd send me something, I'd be like, well, can we add this watercolor thing here? After a few iterations, I realized, oh, there's actually more color here than I thought, you know, and it's just, you just don't, it kind of takes you a little bit to realize what is it that I actually like. And there are things that I might be drawn to that I like, but they may not actually fit what I want to convey. And that was something that I realized is, yes, I am very drawn to very clean, very minimal. But then when you go to my photography website, for example, there's yellows, there's teals, there's pinks. And so I kind of had to realize that, yes, I might be drawn to these things, but that actually doesn't reflect my brand and how I actually want to portray that. And like you said, I think that just takes a little bit of time to get to know who am I actually and who, you know, what type of clients do I want to attract, but also how do I want my clients to feel when they go to my website? Because it is going to make a really big difference depending on what that experience is.
Yeah, 100%. And like you were saying, I love that you had mentioned too, it's not necessarily what kind of clients you want to attract. I think so much of the conversation around this topic has been about the ideal client avatar, right? Which my hot take is I hate that exercise, but you know, well, that'll be probably a whole episode in and of itself, where I think it's so hard to imagine what this fake person is going to want. And when you sort of really sacrifice what it is, the story that you want to tell for this fake person that doesn't even exist, it's so easy to sort of get lost in that process of like, okay, well, my ideal client, you know, loves coffee for no apparent reason, but that's, you know, somehow one of the things that you're supposed to know, like what kind of drink they like to drink. I'm going to talk about, you know, how I love going to Starbucks, but like maybe you don't even like going to Starbucks. You just like the idea of going to Starbucks. You know, that's a silly example, but I think I really would love for people to start thinking about, okay, well, I think that you have to think about who you are before you know who you're for, right? And so it's that sort of self-reflection, like self-understanding and understanding yourself objectively so that you can connect yourself to any pain point that, you know, your ideal client might be having. Like if even though maybe kind of like your website, you want it to be the minimal, pretty, you know, like very posh sort of person, if you're like me and you're kind of weird and, you know, crack weird movie references or what have you, like you're not going to be able to portray that image for much longer, right? Like, you can't pretend for a guy that you like, that you love kung fu movies when, like, they just put you to sleep. You have to know what you're good at. You know, I have to know how people see you when you are interacting with them. And so much of all of our entrepreneurial business is like client based, right? It's like person to person. And that experience, what does that kind of look like? And know that, hey, actually, since I'm kind of a silly person, I can, you know, put people at ease, and I can, you know, pose them and get their, you know, silly side out. Maybe that's the strong point that I need to talk about. And that's what my brand means. Or, you know, I'm a clipboard girl. Like, I love my Excel spreadsheets and I can make databases for days. So I will talk about how, you know, nothing will be missed on your special day. Like, those are the kinds of, I think, pieces about yourself, about your personality, about who you are that really will resonate with these clients, because they're real. Like, they're not just made up things. They're actual attributes about yourself and strengths and quirks and personality.
Yeah. Oh, so much came up for me there, and on the part that you're just talking about now, yeah, very similar to that. When I thought I wanted to be very white, clean, minimal, I also kind of went through this phase of, oh, I want to be a luxury wedding photographer. You know, who doesn't want to be a luxury wedding photographer? Like, it just sounds so great. And then it was through that process of realizing, not only have I not shot luxury weddings in the sense of what I was looking at as luxury, which is fine. It doesn't mean you couldn't break into that sort of market. Mm-hmm. But when I started to think about what does that mean and what does that mean to my clients, and thinking back to my clients that I've really loved, the clients that if you could just copy paste and just keep having these clients over and over again, they weren't drawn to a luxury, like, that's not their style. They want someone who can make them feel really comfortable. They like, and not that you can't blend luxury and all of these things, but a lot of times you do kind of have to think about, how are my clients going to think about the words that I'm using? I mean, you probably understand that more deeply than me, but your clients are going to have a certain feeling when they hear the word luxury. And if that to them is like, well, that's not how I would describe myself. That's not how I describe me. I'm laying on my couch with no makeup watching Harry Potter half the time. And that's the type of clients I want to have, people who can feel like that, who we can bond over that. And so, yeah, it was this moment of realizing, even though I really like this and I really love looking at these editorial shoots and these beautiful photos, at the end of the day, that's just not going to be the thing that brings me joy. And it might be really pretty and people might love and comment on the pictures that I share, but if it doesn't really spark joy deep inside while you're doing it and as you're editing it and as you're like, if it doesn't spark that joy, it's not going to be something that you're going to want to continue doing. But it's hard. I feel like sometimes you get honest with yourself. It's like, okay, I guess I kind of have to drop that thing that I thought that I wanted, because I understand that this isn't actually going to be the thing that serves me or my clients the best.
Yeah, it's such a vulnerable process, right? Like, because it's almost like having to love your flaws, which I think about this a lot, where I do believe that your flaws are always sort of the other side of the coin of your greatest strengths. So it's really, which sounds like a really bad interview answer, but I think it's really, really true, right? Like, oh, it is. You know, my greatest strength is that I'm such a detail-oriented person. Like, not in that sense, but the real side of that is like, oh, I get so anxious. Like, I'm such a like neurotic person. But the other side is, you are detail-oriented. You don't drop a ball, you know, you're on it. And so it's really easy instead to fall into that image of yourself that you have, like you were saying, and focus on those strengths, but they're not really you, right? Like, it's the weird parts. It's the quirky bits. It's the parts of yourself that you wish you could change and you can't, that are the actual strengths, right? Because like you said, you can't change it. That's just who you are. And yeah. So I really love this whole, it's so like woo-woo and kind of like, oh, self-helpy. But when you love who you are and all of the different bits that come with it, I think it translates so well into your business, and it'll just help you grow, because you'll connect with other people much more authentically.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that really hits home for me and resonates with me. It's interesting, because as I've built my business, I'm coming back to this realization more and more that sometimes the strategies, the things the experts tell you, all of that stuff doesn't really matter if you don't first love yourself, who you are, because that level of confidence and clarity that you'll gain from doing the inner work of being like, this is who I am owning it, I'm showing up as me, I am truly unapologetic. It, like, when you can have that kind of energy, that almost does your marketing for you, in a sense. I mean, obviously it doesn't do all the work, you still have to show up, but when you release yourself from the pressure of who you think you need to be, or to your point of how you think you need to show up in order to attract the type of clients that you think, like, when you release yourself from all of that and you're like, this is me, I'm going to show up as this, the energy that that naturally brings is just going to inherently attract people to you. Yeah. But it's hard because it's so backwards from everything that we actually learn that tells us how to grow a business and how to be successful and all of that. So it's really reprogramming our brain. And to your point about the ideal client avatar, that also, that resonates a lot with me, because when I started the podcast, I kind of went through an exercise. I had, because the person I learned from told me to do that. So I had a printed out piece of paper. Her name was Jessica. It was some random picture of some girl that I found on Pinterest. And I listed out all the things that she liked. And I think it kind of helped a little bit, but also I didn't really use it as I went on, because I just, to your point, it's just I don't want to lose me in this part of trying to talk to this person of where I think she's at, because it really, you can tell the difference. I feel like when someone shows up in a way of trying to speak to someone that they think they need to speak to versus just showing up and sharing the thing that feels really relevant or important to them. I think that you can, as a client, tell the difference from that. And I feel like it's the same thing. It's the same thing with your brand. You can tell if someone's just kind of, their branding looks a certain way, but then the things they say, the copy, their Instagram posts, if you're kind of like, this doesn't really match up, I feel like you can kind of see the difference there.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, the whole idea about, you know, not to say and not to, you know, really put a damper on all of like the education that's out there. But I think those tactics, I think the difference that you have to understand is that those tactics are there to make an impact immediately, right? That's sort of like the short game. Like, yes, if you know who specifically you're talking to and you only go to the places they hang out and say exactly what they want to hear, you will find those people much more efficiently, right? But the stuff that we're kind of talking about here with the, you know, knowing who you are, like showing up as yourself, like those are the ways that you can create a more sustainable business model. And I think that's sort of the difference in the, you know, the goal of the people who are teaching sometimes, or having these tips, they're quick wins, right? It's the, you know, the whole magazine culture of like, oh, five things you can do today so that you can lose 20 pounds, what have you. Like, but you can't do that every day. Like, I can't not eat, you know, a specific thing or only eat at 6 o'clock, like every single day of my life. I also can't run 6 miles every day. And of course, like, I'm going to be a great runner, but like, that's not a sustainable model for me. This sort of new way, I think, of thinking allows you to build something that's a lifestyle, build something that is, you know, really there to make your business succeed for the long run.
Yeah. And sustainability is key. It's right. You know, it sure is. As you're growing your business, if you can remember one thing, just remember it. Ask yourself, is this sustainable? And if it's not, then probably not the thing you should keep doing. And I'd love to kind of hear, so as you work with clients, how do you really help them incorporate? I know we've kind of talked about this, but really thinking about the process of like creating that brand and creating it from a place that feels really authentic. What are some ways that you work with clients to really help to make sure that their brand really is that representation of them? And you can use, like, I don't know if you want to pull examples from people that you've worked with specifically, or however you want to answer would be amazing.
Yeah, for sure. So let's see. One big one, I love color. If you couldn't tell by this bright
and the beautiful, I know the watercolor behind you all the paintings. Yeah, so pretty.
So I think that color has such a big weight on your visual identity. Like, you see it, like, people understand it, and, you know, it's a really quick connection, more so than, say, the type of font you use or the photographs that you have. Like, color is in everything, right? And so I like to kind of say like, oh, you know, for example, when we're building a color palette, let's start from a color that you love, whether it's because it looks amazing on you or because you have, you know, really great core memory on it, or, you know, it's just the color that you are surrounded by. Like I had a client who just loved turquoise, and she just, you know, when we did the Zoom and I was like looking around her room, I was like, you literally have everything turquoise in your room. And she's like, oh yeah, this should be part of my brand colors. And I was like, yeah, I think it should, because it kind of really fits into your lifestyle. And I think that it's less about, you know, the whole color psychology thing that's out there too. Like, oh, blue for social media and green for, you know, healthcare, what have you. It's the color spectrum is so wide that you can find a green that is perfect for your photography business, right? Like whether it's because it's warmer or has more of, you know, a jewel tone to it, what have you. So just start with a color you like and we'll just build something around it. That's something that I really love doing. Another thing is, when we're talking about, say, like, an imagery for your brand, right? Like everyone kind of falls into the, oh, it should be timeless or it should be a camera because that's what I do. You know, even if it's something that doesn't immediately connect with your business. I had a client who she, had a really personal connection to butterflies. She had lost someone who was really dear to her, and she really kind of felt like every time she saw a butterfly was when that person had come back to her. And so we incorporated a butterfly into her, you know, branding. And she's a wedding photographer. You know, weddings and butterflies, you don't necessarily make that connection immediately, but it was something that really meant a lot to her. And when she sees that, she can show up in her business knowing that this is something that's really personal, that's, you know, her, unapologetically her. I loved it when you said that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, bringing that story with her. And I think it reminds her also to be vulnerable in her business. And it reminds her that her story matters and she can, you know, share that with her clients too. Another thing I think that is really, I love this exercise that I do with clients too, which I think you can, your listeners can also do today, is knowing the difference between something that is a given and a truly unique value proposition is always a really fun exercise. Where, say that you, I use wedding photographers a lot as an example because I love them too. But, you know, if you're like, oh, I, you know, find great lighting, it's like, oh yeah, that's what everybody does. Like, that's not really a value proposition, right? And kind of understanding, like, what is something that everyone does and what's something that only you can do. Again, that kind of goes back to that self-reflection and knowing who you are objectively will allow you to sort of bring that to the forefront and say, okay, well, you know, we talked about how you have a great personality and you could connect with the groom immediately. Let's make sure that the brand design and sort of the messaging convey that you're there for everyone and that you're friendly. Let's use, you know, patterns or illustrations that feel like not just feminine, but like, you know, really joyful to everyone. And that will show that you're not just a pretty, pretty photographer. You are someone that you can make a personal connection with. What else is there? If you're still, oh yeah. And if you're still DIYing your design, right? And you're kind of picking up those pieces, I think that that's okay too. Just know that all you need is four elements in your branding to make it all feel cohesive: your logo, a color palette, fonts, and photos. And if you have all of those pieces together and all four of those pieces feel cohesive together, then you're going to be able to build a visual identity that feels very like put together and it all talks to each other.
Yeah. Almost like that's like the step one. Mm-hmm. Like if you can have something that feels cohesive and you can live with that for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then when you lean into more into who you are and as you grow and you figure all those pieces out, then you can kind of take that next step when you're ready. Yeah. And I love to, like you mentioned, the butterfly, for example. Mm-hmm. And it's one, because I know you hand draw a lot of things for clients, right?
Yeah. So I actually hand draw all of my elements. So even when it's, you know, a font that we're using, I sort of add like flourishes or like add custom pieces to it so that everything looks like you and nobody else. Like we don't want that embarrassing, like, oh my goodness, we have the same outfit moment when it comes to branding, right? Because everyone is so unique. And I think that it brings in that piece that's like, oh yeah, like this is real. This is personal.
Yeah, well, and I love that because, you know, if someone was like, oh, I have something, the butterfly, for example, I have something that doesn't feel like I don't want it everywhere because it's so customized. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have it be just this outline of a butterfly that's somewhere. It could be like a very, you know, lightly hand-drawn in certain aspects of your branding. So it can really, it doesn't have to feel like it's, and sometimes less is more, I feel like, in that sense, is with those little touches. You don't necessarily need a lot if you feel like just a little bit conveys the things, but you can show it in other things like the colors that you have or things like that. So I love that. And I wanted to point that out because I think that is really unique. I mean, I feel like for my branding, I have kind of put some of it together still, which I know at some point I'm like, okay, I really need to go in and do it. But like you said, I think to the, you know, there is a point where you might feel comfortable and you might feel like it conveys the thing that you want. And I feel like you'll kind of know when you're ready for, okay, I really want something that feels more cohesive that I can really share and get that, you know, that total brand feeling of it. But I just love that everything that you do is hand-drawn also. I feel like if you're going to invest in something, it's like really get something that's going to be unique and custom to you, as opposed to like templates are wonderful. And there are a lot more of them now that you can use. So you can feel a little bit different. But at the end of the day, it's all still a template and it's not going to maybe quite reflect the you as much as something that's more customized would.
Yeah, there is something charming, I think, about that imperfectly perfect, you know, the weird smudge of a watercolor, or, you know, how a calligraphy logo is just not quite the same. The two A's don't look identical. I always find like, you know, it's the branding equivalent of a handwritten note. Almost, right? Like it just feels so special. And I'm still waiting for that client who's going to let me make a logo out of her handwriting. Like that's been something that I really want to get into. Like I saw some service that like creates a signature for you based on your own signature and like make it a little bit prettier. And I was like, oh, like that would be so cool for a logo too. Or like, you know, maybe it's what your mom wrote you, or it's, you know, what your kid wrote. And like, we just make kind of tweak it a little bit to make it more legible and into a logo or something. Like, I think those kinds of really weird, you know, kind of like, oh, maybe the business coach, the super famous business coach won't be recommending that kind of thing. But those are, I think, the pieces that real people are going to connect with.
Oh, yeah. Your clients are going to see that. And it's going to, like you said, it's going to speak to them on a different level than something that just seems like a normal font or a normal logo or a normal.
Like whatever. I've seen that font before, like, which is really crazy because you think that the people who are not in design won't know the difference, but there's like, it's, we don't give ourselves enough credit where even if you're not a design professional, your eye kind of knows these things. Like it's kind of like how you were saying, like they get that it's not authentic. They also get that it's like not quite right for some reason, and they can't articulate why it is, but they'll just kind of see that it's off or recognize it somewhere and know that it's not something that is specific to you.
Yeah. Oh, so important. And I'd love to share kind of thinking back, and this is kind of more of a, as you've grown your business question, so less about branding, but as you've grown, has there been anything that you feel like has really made a big shift or a big impact in the way that you've looked at your business, the way that you've thought about your business? We also talked a little bit about like self-growth and that, and I'm sure that has made a big impact. So, but is there anything you feel like you've implemented or that you have kind of added into your business that's really made a big difference in the perspective that you take around it or just how you approach your business in general?
Yeah. So I don't know if it had already been mentioned, but I have two little ones. I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old and zero childcare. So as I'm building this business, if there are any other mompreneurs out there, what was really important was to understand that I don't need a 6-hour chunk in front of my computer to be able to do work. And I've become a lot better at finding those time pockets, right? Of where like, oh, I could write a quick email while I'm waiting for my water to boil for the coffee. Or, you know, I can, you know, brainstorm what I'm going to do for content next week while the kid somehow miraculously started playing together without fighting, and yelling for like 5 seconds. So it's really kind of been a game changer to understand that I don't have to separate my two pieces of my life. And I think this has been something that's really hard, especially after the pandemic of like working from home, you know, whether you're doing your business as a side hustle and you're also doing your full-time job, you feel like all of these things have to have a compartment and a time block. And, you know, I'm not going to do anything except for this one thing. You can find these little seamless places where tasks and, you know, have to do's can blend together, and you can kind of, you know, do all of the different pieces at the same time. Like maybe you have a day job and you have to check email. Check your business email for a little bit too. Like you're kind of just there. And finding those little places where you can incorporate, you know, what has to be done in your business has been really a big game changer for me.
Oh yeah. I don't have kids, but I can resonate this with this on a level of it does make such a big difference, because you almost remove this perfectionist idea of, oh, I need to have time to sit down and do it. It almost just inherently starts to block us and build up this thing that creates a business that is not sustainable, because there is no perfect amount of time, or there is no like perfect way to write this email, or you're not going to have. And really, they say done is better than perfect, but it is so true in these instances. It's so much better when you can, like you said, create those little pockets of time where you can still start to grow, because you also train yourself that it doesn't have to be a certain type of way. It doesn't have, like, you just kind of release a lot of that pressure from yourself. So I love that that's what you shared, because I think that that really will connect on so many levels with people, but especially if you also have little ones at home and you're trying to figure out how to navigate growing a business, that's really the only way you can do it. There's no way you're going to be able to. And some people are like, oh, well, I love working at night. Well, that's great. Have that be your really time where you can sit down and do stuff, but don't put everything into that chunk of time, because then you're going to get behind on tasks, you'll get behind on things, and you feel overwhelmed, and then you just want to throw in the towel. So I love that advice.
Yeah, it kind of forces you to do that. And that's sort of been the theme too. I love what you said about this idea that you have to work a certain way. It's the same idea of, you know, the idea of what I should look like as an entrepreneur, what my branding should look like, what my business should look like. It's all about kind of shedding all that and, you know, showing up as yourself.
Yes. Oh, that's so beautiful. I think that's like the best way to end the conversation, just like that. So I'd love for you to share, let us know where we can find you, how we can connect with you and learn more, share all of the things.
Of course. So my business is called Alette Studio. So the website is alettestudio.com. That's two L's and two T's. I'm also on Instagram at Alette Studio, and you know, I'm nice. I try to be. So you can always DM me if you have any questions that come up. If you're like, oh my God, I can't decide between, you know, this chartreuse color and this lime green color for my brand. Like, I love geeking out about branding with all of you. So yeah, it's been so fun. It's, this work is scary, but it's simple, and you know, just be yourself.
Yes. And I'll share all of that in the show notes as well, so everyone can find you. But thank you so much. This is so wonderful, Lisa. I appreciate you being able to show up so authentically as you today. Just matches the conversation so beautifully.
Yay. I mean, I can only be me, unfortunately.
I love that. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
One last thing before you go. I'd absolutely love it if you left a review on Apple Podcasts. Or if you've already left a review, I'd love for you to share this episode with your business bestie. I love getting to shout out my listeners on the show, and the more listeners that we have, the more that I can help others create a thriving and sustainable business too. Thank you so much again for being a part of this community, and I can't wait to hear your takeaways from today's episode.